kau dapat kami ulangi. Buruk kaya kapag pagidun lukma. Yukulok mo na
ADR.
Tiger belly.
Yeah, ready? Go.
Five.
You ready?
Four, three, two,
all right, clap.
One.
Are we all clapping?
No, that's just me and Gilbert.
Oh, okay, just you and Gilbert.
Everyone clap your hands. Clap them like you just don't care. Everyone clap your hands. Clap them like you just don't care. You don't even fucking know the fucking lyrics. I fucking told you to rehearse it.
You're right.
Anyway, welcome to Tiger Belly. My name is Captain Bob Lee. And we have Kalila. George is here. Gilbert's here. And let me tell you something right now. I was afraid to ask this next guy to do the podcast because he's gone into a different threshold of existence. And he used to be with me. We're still together, I guess.
Wait, as a...
No, we're just, you know, I mean, comedy compadres.
Oh, okay.
You know, and he's moved on to a different level. And I'm just so happy that he's here. His name is... What, Eric?
Eric Stone.
Eric Stone Street. Eric Stone Street, everybody, from the Modern Family.
Yes.
Yes.
Modern Family.
Yeah. Were you just going to do the Asian accent?
No.
I love what you're doing.
You taught me.
I know. I taught him how to do an Asian accent. And also,
I'm only impersonating you impersonating your dad.
Yes. And the reason why I asked, I got the balls because, you know, Eric texts me once a year, twice a year. Mm. And he sent me this photo. It says, it's a photo of the Hollywood Bowl. And it says, the Korea Times presents 2017 Korean Music Festival. And then he just put FYI. like I'm going to fucking buy tickets. Like, I don't like, you know, like the Rolling Stones.
Yeah, like you wouldn't just be given tickets.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I would get backstage.
You would have backstage access.
Right, right.
Little kitty backstage pass of some kind.
Yeah.
Some weird.
First of all, can I just say this? And you know this, that I'm an American just like you.
Are you?
A little bit. Because when you came to the house, what did you say?
This is nice.
No, you didn't say that. Should I take off my shoes?
Oh, I did say. Yeah, because you have a stack of shoes out in front.
I know. Well, so that was because you saw the shoes?
Yeah, I wanted to be respectful. I fucking hate when people make you take off your shoes when you go to their house.
Right.
Do you make people do that?
Mm-hmm. No.
Oh.
I would never make you do that. And then when you drove, you go, what would you say? When you drove it.
I'm not telling you.
He's being interrogated.
People have to know our relationship.
Okay, our relationship is this. Yeah. Eric and I, we joke around, right? And we have an open kind of a comedy relationship where we can say whatever to each other.
Yeah.
Correct?
And so when I pulled into your parking garage.
Right. You said, what'd you say?
This is a very expensive car.
Yeah.
And I was just saying, I want to make sure it's safe.
Right.
But I didn't have to say that.
I know.
You knew what I was
doing. I know. And then I'd like to talk about the beginning of you and I.
I'll be interested to see if your story matches my story.
I think that I met you at the commercial audition.
For Pepsi One.
For Pepsi, for Michael Bay, the one he directed.
Mm-hmm. Did you both book it?
Well, so whatever was, him and I were in the, like, we were downtown, in that lobby.
LA Center Studios.
Right, and we were looking at each other. Did we say, I don't think anyone said, hey, I'm Bobby and I'm Eric.
I think we just... were friendly to each other.
Yeah, so. But we knew that there was one part.
Yeah.
And then
you were going for the same part.
Same
we
part.
Were the last two, right?
Yeah.
And they're like,
they had released one guy who I always felt like, I always felt bad for the guy that was like, thank you so much. And
yeah.
Because I was that guy plenty too.
Yeah.
I know
yeah.
you were that guy a lot.
Yes. I was that guy a lot. I was.
I know.
Yeah.
So you
he
and
still
I.
Still is that guy a lot.
I'm still, oh, you son of a fucking bitch. You fuck you.
Fuck.
I fuck you.
Okay, so I fuck you.
Yeah. And so we looked at each other. He would go in, and so now Michael Bay is sitting there with like four or five guys, and they look cool.
Yeah. They are cool.
They are cool, right? They're sitting there. Their legs. You know how they cross their legs and sit like this.
Yeah.
Their hair's perfect.
Yeah, her hair's perfect. And I swore to fucking God, all I heard was crush, like laughter.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and then when you know you go, this guy, he's probably the best. He is. I'm not gonna get it, but I went in there. I did okay.
Yeah, I heard laughter when you went in too.
Yeah. And then they would bring Eric back in, and back and forth.
And then you would hear more laughter.
And then would bring him back in. Yeah. And so it was like a little kind of a laugh off.
It was brutal.
It was brutal. Yeah.
Damn.
And then they brought us in together.
Well, don't you remember we were both sitting there? They were both sitting there out in the lobby or whatever.
Yeah.
And at that moment in time, we probably were talking. It's like, dude, this is weird. Like, whoever gets it, whatever.
Yeah.
And then they pop their head out and they're like, we'd like you to both come in.
Right. Oh, whoa. Which just never happens.
And didn't they just kind of hire us right there?
They did.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. You're they both going to be the guy.
Yeah, you're both are going to be the guy.
But then it became, when we actually did the job.
Go on.
It was a disaster for me.
Why for you?
You were in deep water.
I was in deep water. Number one, it was a Super Bowl commercial.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was so it's big.
Yeah.
It was a spoof on Goldilocks and the Three Bears.
Right.
And Kim Cattrall was Goldilocks, and Bobby and I were the Towel Boys.
Towel Boys. Right. And now you have to understand this. And Eric's worked with me a couple of times on different things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's a. I was young, and I.
Yeah,
didn't,
I don't know why you're
how
using
old were
past
you guys?
Tense.
Last Super Bowl.
Yeah. I'm
you
still
said
a disaster.
Was.
Yeah. I'm a disaster. I'm a disaster.
You can keep it current.
I mean, because and I tell you the panic that I get.
Yeah, I know
and
the
all
story.
Those things.
Yeah.
Right? They're real.
This is a reoccurring nightmare. He
they're
has.
Not. They're
the Kim
not.
Cattrall thing.
Yeah. They're. Yeah. It is. Still is. I still talk about it.
I do too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's like I. When I get big jobs and I run big people, I panic and I go through the, you know, people that are fans of the podcast know how weird I am. Mm-hmm. And that all is real.
Yeah, it is real.
Yeah.
I mean, it is.
Yeah.
So, but the nice side of me has always told you that it's misplaced because you are not in those places by accident. You are talented.
Thank you. That's
and you
really,
do need to fall back on that every once in a while, except when I'm giving you shit.
Yes, and that's really nice that you would say that. I'm about to cry that you said something like that. But anyway, let's move on from that.
Yeah, let's not go.
Yeah, further. Let's not get too fucking comfortable.
So do you remember, though, how difficult it was for me, too, because we're shooting the commercial and Michael would come over and say, all right, is the light thing going to go off this time? And then the camera's going to be on the track, right? And it's going to do this. And then we're going to do that. All right. And then he would look at me and be like, all right, you're hilarious. Just keep doing what you're doing. You, Bobby, stay in the fucking light. If I can't see your face, you're not going to be on camera. Do you understand that? And just would berate Bobby.
Yeah.
And then compliment me. It was the best thing.
And then
it wasn't a bit. No.
At one point, he grabbed my face. He went from behind the camera, Michael Bay, grabbed my face and go, the light, right?
I mean,
and I kept looking at Eric going, this is the worst.
But to be fair, like, why couldn't you just get your face in the light? Like,
yeah, what was
why
going
did
on?
You keep not getting your face in the light?
Because I never really, I mean, that was like, what, my third or fourth job?
Yeah, but oh my God. So we had to do this little funny comedy thing where I would peek around the corner and then Bobby would peek underneath me, or I would peek down and then Bobby would peek around, you know, like,
yeah.
You know, this kind of thing.
Yeah.
And you would never get your face in the light. And then, do you remember what else happened when we were shooting that commercial? That
no,
not about, I don't bad remember, about
I don't
you.
Remember. Oh yeah, I know. Michael Clark Duncan
showed up.
Yeah, so we're having lunch. Mm-hmm. Right, there's lunch.
Yeah.
And now at this point, I'm not outwardly saying it, but I'm sure he knew. I was just, this is the worst. I hate it. Mm-hmm. You know, and I was like, should I quit? Whatever, yeah. Right? And then we're having lunch, and then this out of nowhere, a gigantic.
Gorilla.
Well,
we can say
no.
It,
it was because he was in Planet of the Apes.
He came in
in full
makeup.
We're not calling Michael.
Okay, I didn't.
I know. Oh my God!
Because he would say this.
Are you calling me a gorilla?
Yeah.
Very good, Gilbert.
We saw him Second City. This one.
Oh,
yeah. From Wrigleyville.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I lived there for 2 years.
Yeah. Was impressed.
So he came in gorilla suit.
When he said that, Wrigleyville, he wasn't that impressed, man.
I get
no,
what
it's
he
like
means.
A hellhole. It's like next to IO.
I get what he means from.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Way to pump the brakes.
Anyway. So yeah, he came in, and I remember okay. Michael like touching his.
And he made him like do a cry, and he's like, oh, and beating his chest, and we're
yeah,
just like,
yeah.
He had yellow eyes and big fangs. It was crazy.
It was amazing.
Anyway, that commercial didn't run that much.
And then, but here's what, do you remember this?
What?
At the end of the commercial.
Go on.
You and I are standing next to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Kim Cattrall walks up to you. Do you remember this?
Uh-oh.
And says, you're going to be a very big star.
She said that to me?
Yes.
And what did she say to you?
She looked at me, said nothing, and walked away. And she was right!
Oh, that's not
true.
She was right. No.
She predicted it!
Kim Cattrall.
Kim Cattrall's a wizard or something. Nothing happened.
A lot of things have happened. With me, though. You're in here with me.
Yeah, I know.
And that's something.
I know.
So you guys have this picture where you're dressed as mimes. Where's that from?
Oh, that's where you're sitting on my lap. That was an IBM commercial.
That was another IBM. We were bank robbers. Yeah.
So you guys were like a duo for a while. You guys
ran, I think, in the late 90s.
Yeah.
We ran. There was like 10 guys that booked every commercial.
Mm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? I would book. I mean, I literally booked 20 in a year.
Yeah, you said you did that.
Ooh, like that's your record?
I know.
That's
how many Joe Pitka commercials did you do? How many?
Like forever?
Yeah, from your whole career. Just if you don't know, Joe Pitka he's like the Steven Spielberg of commercial directors.
Yeah, he's
you when you book a Joe Pitka job, mm-hmm. you're gonna go through hell. I mean, at least I did. Mm-hmm. But you're going to make a shitload of money.
Yeah, and he likes finding people that he likes and can trust and that he works with, and then he just keeps casting them. And I was lucky enough, I think in 2000, maybe 2000, to book my first one with him, which was an American Express commercial. And I think between then and 2007, I did like 60.
Oh my God.
Whoa. I remember one time you were in Italy shooting one with them. That's a different country, right?
Yeah, it was shooting a commercial for IBM in front of the Leaning Tower of Pisa, and the Leaning Tower of Pisa crashed to the ground. And the commercial ran exactly two times on 9/9 and 9/10 of 2001.
Oh, what happened at 11?
Bobby?
Oh.
I'll leave.
I'm sorry. No, something disastrous happened.
Yeah. So that commercial never really, really did much.
Yeah, but in retrospect, who gives a fuck, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
I got to go to Italy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and I remember one night you said you had, because Joe Pitka, I mean, he was nice to you, right?
Very nice.
Yeah. But to me.
He was nice to you, too. He kept hiring you. That means he likes you.
I know, but the things he would say, though.
Well, you don't bring those on. At all.
Examples.
So you know you're saying he deserves the abuse.
I've seen you on set. What you just said right now, it could have been a spiritual awakening just now.
Really?
Because in many ways, I like to blame people, but I have to look at my behavior.
You do.
And, I have to look at the things that I say and things I invite. And you know what? That's touché to you, my friend. You could be right about that. But he did say some crazy shit.
Yeah, like what?
Ching chong. I'm not even real. Ching chong, get on your mark.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But wow. I've heard him say he doesn't discriminate.
He doesn't.
Yeah.
No, he says crazy things about a lot of things, yeah. And he's the best in the business, and I made a lot of money, and thank you so much, Mr. Pitka.
Yeah. Thank you so much. He is really literally one of the people responsible for me to be able to be in the position to even get a job like Modern Family, because when I would go into auditions, because of working for him consistently, I was, you know, secure. Like, I felt secure, and I felt I had confidence because I had a few ducats in the bank, and I didn't have to go in there with desperation pouring out of my pores.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. So, I mean, he was, like, I did one job for him, an IBM job.
How much?
I made $300,000 for one job, and this is in 1999.
No, wow. I didn't make that much on one. Which one was that one?
It was the Juggernaut with the spacesuit one.
Oh,
with me
dude,
and
that,
other
that
dude.
Was a huge campaign.
Huge campaign, yeah, yeah, yeah. So I'm just grateful for all that. And even when I was on Mad, I did the bank robber one with you, remember?
Yeah.
At the shaved head.
Yeah, that was great.
That was great.
That's when we did that. I forgot about that one.
Yeah.
That's the one you're talking about where he's sitting on my lap or something?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we are. I'm wearing a little pork pie hat or something.
Yeah, yeah. And then you did a couple of Mad sketches, right? Maybe one.
You with you and Ike.
With me and Ike Barinholtz.
Because I knew Ike from Chicago.
Yeah.
And I knew you from here.
And then you know what I also remember is we'd go to, like, Steve and I would go to that Brazilian, remember that Brazilian restaurant?
Oh my God, in Burbank?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which one is it? The Churrascaria?
It's a Churrascaria called Meat.
That's what it's called?
Yeah.
Meat.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it's called. It's over in the media center, like downtown Burbank. But yeah, we went to there. And remember, you just do the green light, red
light.
Mm-hmm. And you ate so much.
Do I recall you being mad at me because I did an interview or something where I said that I call Eric Stone Street to get me, like, good restaurants?
No. I would never be mad. Why would I ever be
I
mad
I think you
at
gave
you?
Me shit. Was it you or no, somebody else?
Not me.
It wasn't you.
When did you do an interview?
Are you saying that in a...
Have you done interviews? Like with...
Yeah, I've
like
done
who, who's interviewed you?
It was probably like Kream.
No, but what are you talking about? I don't really know.
I did like a some sort of like interview, and I said that, where do you get... Because I remember I talked to you... I said about Tinder. Mm. I taught him about Tinder,
right.
And then I said,
"Wait, I heard about this. We have to delve into that in a sec."
Remember, I taught you about Tinder.
Yeah, you did.
And you got off it, didn't you? Not?
I did get off of it. Yeah.
Well, after a while, it's the same old, same old, same old
like
thing.
It's like a game.
Yeah,
like,
it is.
But not, I mean, meeting people, because I very rarely meet people off the dating apps, but just swiping people's pictures, it just feels like I'm playing some sort of game or something.
And you become desensitized.
Weird. Totally.
And it's.
But how long were you on it?
7 years.
No.
Yeah. Like, you know, a year or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. But did you go on any dates on it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
But it was cool for
It was
the
cool
year.
For a while, yeah. Oh yeah. You definitely got me going on that.
Yeah. Because I met her that way.
Did you really?
Yeah.
I didn't see you on there. Hey baby. Remember me?
I missed my chance.
You sure
Eric.
Did.
Fuck.
We'd be doing this podcast in
Together.
A real big room.
70 commercials.
Yeah.
More IBM than him.
Yeah. This guy used to kill it. Like he used to.
Used to was it past.
I know he's killing it now, but like even. But I mean, you have to imagine a guy who, you know, you don't really know his name, but you just know when he walks into a commercial, you know, auditioning room, you go, "Oh fuck, that guy."
Mm. Right? I don't feel that people thought that about me.
I think they do because I've heard other people say, "Yeah, Stone Street used to come in and he used to get it," and then you know what I mean.
I hope
and
I
they
was
never get
nice.
There were guys that didn't get would go in and never got any.
Yeah.
So imagine going in to 50 of them and then seeing you at half of them, and then you're on half of those that he went out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So in his head, he's like, "That guy's a beast."
But there were people like that when I moved out here that I would see in every commercial. That I would walk in. It took a while for me to get to be considered that guy.
God, you're really humble, are you not?
I am. I think so.
You are.
Yeah.
What were you doing immediately before you got cast on Modern Family?
Commercials, like mostly just commercials. I had done a few guest stars leading up in that year on TV shows where I'd killed a few people. Bobby knows my dark side.
Yeah. But he also was on movies like Almost Famous. He was in that.
Yeah, had a small part in that.
Yeah, but still you were in it.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to imagine when I was watching that movie back in the day, I was like, oh, there's Eric. Yeah.
But I was in one of my down, you know, like little funks as an actor right before Modern Family. You know how we go through those things where you're just like, well, what do I do now? And I was literally in one of those, and a friend of mine who I met through Joe Pitka, Marshall Bell. I don't know if you ever worked with Marshall Bell. Mm-hmm. He's a character actor. Talks like this. He's from Oklahoma. Licks his teeth a lot. And I called him and I was like, dude, I'm having a... He's like, what else are you going to do, man? You got traction. You're in the business. You got to stay.
Whoa.
He talked me... That's he like nice. Talked me down off the good ledge.
Wow.
He's like, what else can you do?
Well,
I was like, well, Jesus, I guess when you put it that way.
Yeah.
So, and then the audition for Modern Family happened like within that four-month window of that period.
And I read that that whole audition process was a long one for you, where they kind of didn't know like who they wanted to cast. Is that
God,
true?
God, your girlfriend's so much smarter than you.
She does research.
And she sounds
reads.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Fucking
now fucking answer it, man.
Fucking,
fucking answer it, man.
Fucking Tinder.
Could have been you, baby. Yeah.
Still mine.
Still mine. Hey. We'll talk about it after.
Hey. Now I'm sweating.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll take that fucking stocking cap off.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
And all that hair. So, yeah. It was, well, because I was one of the last people that they'd cast in the show. They had been looking for a while. And I did, you know, 4 auditions for it, which isn't that unusual, but what made my process a little more unusual was that I had done 2 auditions and they had passed, like sent word that like they liked me, but it wasn't going to go any further because I knew the casting director. And so it was a courtesy call for him calling my manager, because, you know, as actors, we'd love to know when we're no longer in. So we're not sitting home wondering. So he just called and said, hey, you know, they really liked Eric, but it's not going to go any further. Mm. Twice they did that to me.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So that was what made the process for me a little different.
And then the third time, did you go, I'm not going to go back in, or?
Well, no, then they called out of the blue and said, we'll test you. So then, I went in once, passed, then 7 days passed, and they called back and said, come back in, dress more appropriately for the character, clean shaven, because I would roll around. That's another thing
That's what I loved about you.
Yeah, I would never, like,
dirty
play the...
Yeah, right.
Play the game of doctor's coat.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Like they dress up. Actors dress up.
I never do that.
I used to get when I first moved into town, like only Asian ones. So I'd go into a lobby and it's all people in ninja suits.
Yeah.
And samurai swords. Oh, and I would dress like this.
Yeah.
And I go, I'm not gonna get this.
I knew it was time for me to start thinking about getting out of the commercial business when I went over to an audition in Santa Monica.
Yeah.
And that called for a guy in a suit and tie, and I showed up, you know, just in like a nice shirt and jeans.
Yeah.
But I wasn't looking like a slob, and the guy was like, oh, what are you here for? And I said, Sears. He's like, where's your suit and tie? And I said, oh, do they have the set built in there too? He's like, what? I said, did they build the set? Is the set in there?
Yeah. Did they have no imagination?
Yeah. So I was like, I need to back away. I'm losing this 12 years of this has caught up to me.
Yeah.
But anyway, I was just doing commercials, and I remember distinctly shooting the pilot and listening to all my co-stars talking about their careers and the things that they had, and that includes the kids on the show. Mm-hmm. And everyone had something that they were either going to do if the show didn't get picked up or that they had turned down to do the show. Like Julie Bowen was in second position on another pilot. Ty Burrell was in second position on another pilot. Sofia Vergara had a holding deal at ABC. Jesse Tyler Ferguson was going to go to Broadway and play Buddy the Elf in the musical Elf. Ariel Winter, who's a brilliant actress, she had something that she was going to do. Rico was like killing it, doing his own thing.
Yeah.
Everybody had something going on, and I really remember sitting there thinking, I have a Lowe's callback.
Lowe's.
Yeah.
But that was my career up in that to that point, and I think I represented so many actors to that point. I was the guy who I was the least known adult for sure. Maybe Ariel and Sarah Hyland were more recognizable. I mean, they'd worked more than I had almost probably, and that's
yeah. But can I just say this? The argument is this though. I don't. You said all those names. I don't know who they are.
But you don't watch the show.
It doesn't matter.
Wait a minute. What?
No, I don't. I've never seen that.
You've never seen Modern Family?
Fuck it.
He's trying to agree.
Fuck it. I know it's good. Fuck it.
Is it too hard for you?
I've seen clippets. I saw one time you did the thing where you reached the baby up and you did a Lion King thing.
That was supposed to be you.
You went up for that?
I know.
Bobby went up for it.
No, but I saw that.
Passed on him twice.
No, I saw that. You know how I fly coach. And I had one of those little TV screens, and somebody was next to me seeing that part and them laughing. And I go, I want to say, that's my friend. You know what I mean? But I didn't. But I laughed because the way you did it was funny, and that's all I need to see. But what I'm going to say this.
He has a hard time watching all any
myself
friends.
Either. I can't see anybody.
Well, not even yourself, but your friends. You
right.
just can't do it.
Okay.
But just can I just say this?
Sure.
Is that I don't know who they are. That's fine. I know the guy from Married with Children. He's in it.
Ted Bundy's a murderer, serial killer.
Right. But I and people that were in the comedy business, right, know who you are, and we think that I always thought that you were legit.
Yeah.
And that's what I give a fuck about.
Yeah. Well, that
you know I mean? It's like when you know, one time I was at Barnes & Noble, and this is before I met you, sweetie, and I was with this girl on a shitty date.
Yeah.
And Chris Rock walked up and said, "What's up, dude?" and gave me a hug. Mm. And that's I don't care about if the variety, you know what I mean, knows me or whatever. I just care that that dude who's in the same business as I am respects me or knows who I am.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I'd rather have that. You know?
Well, I would too.
So when you're in that fucking show like Modern Family, and I know you're saying all those things, that's what you're thinking. I have lows and this and that. At the end of the day, but you still had the baggage of, I think, the comedy community.
Well, that's very nice. Or was it like I say one nice thing about you and then you say something nice to me?
Mm-hmm.
That was really sweet.
No, that's not what I was doing.
Okay, well,
I wasn't doing that.
Can I thank you for saying something really nice? It's like two genuine moments you and I've had.
Is that a rarity?
Because
you're weird with compliments,
we
too.
Make,
like you.
We generally, we've always made fun of each other.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, we don't go deep, right?
Like with what?
Just
like
with
making
our
fun of each other?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it's not like
you
really
go. You've gone deeper than I have.
Like with what?
I'm not going to say.
The face says it all.
Yeah.
You've sent me some pictures that I didn't appreciate.
Oh, okay. That's it. That's all we have to say.
Not going to say any more about that.
Yeah, yeah. That's yeah. All. Yeah. All right.
Didn't care for that.
And wow, I see a little resentment still.
No, not resentment.
Revenge?
Anger.
What kind of picture?
I apologize. I'll tell you. Not right, right now. Right. I don't want this to turn into, you know.
Well, that's
thing.
Not on him. That's on you for sending
him. My bad. I'm going to apologize right now. My bad. Dude, lean back, George. Just a little bit. Thank you so much. Just
he's
lean
getting
back
nervous.
Don't be nervous. Everyone back up. Everything's well, fucking fine.
He sends Bobby unsolicited dick pics all the time.
Yeah,
so.
It's fucking weird.
Oh, that's not what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Oh, okay, okay.
But
okay.
Can I say something, how you helped me?
How? Oh.
I swear to God you did this. And I don't know if you remember, but I was at an audition, right?
Yeah.
And you were on the lot. That's where you shoot, right?
Yeah.
You walked into the lobby, right, when I was auditioning. And I was telling you, I was auditioning. And you go, you said something to me. You said, it doesn't have to be perfect. They know that you're a human being, that you just got the size. You know what I mean? Just do the best you can. You know what I mean? Don't worry about, you know what I mean? It really put me in a different mental state because I was always in a...
Was this when I was on the show already?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm. This is your third year or something, second year.
So after one Emmy, I think. Yeah, I think that was just
one Emmy. And anyway,
go on.
Any fucking way, it helped me, and I tested for that show. But I was literally like, it has. I get a script. I go.
Well, we all get into that mode. We all get into that mode to have to you know, perfect it. And what I always would tell people is like, you want to do the almost the opposite of it when you go in and audition, because these people that go in and audition and make it perfect, you're kind of setting the standard in the people watching's mind that they think, well, this is as good as it's going to be.
Mm.
This is as good as it can get.
No room
He's
for
pitch perfect,
yeah.
Off book, off this, and man, this is the performance.
Right.
When you want to give the appearance that you're a performer, and this is a loose sketch of how good it can be, and man, wait till you have some time with it. Wait till you have a costume on. Wait till you have a prop in your belt. Wait till you're on set. Then it's going to really come alive. But these people that go in that are super worried about being polished, you're kind of doing yourself a disservice. My trick in commercials, and I tell people this all the time, and it really, I think, was an important thing, is I would be so aloof in a commercial audition. I would walk in, and I would be like, where do you want me to stand?
Yes.
Where? Okay. Stand here, and who am I reading with? Do you want me to read with you or with you? Okay, cool.
Yes.
And they'd be like, are you ready?
I'd
be like,
Yeah.
Am I ready?
I'm ready. And then I would just be like, ding! And just like come to life and take direction and take notes. And then it was like doing a magic trick a little bit in a sense, because I would set the expectations low.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I said in commercial auditions is that the slate, you have to pretend that it's silly, that you've done it before, that you know, you're grateful to be there. But also, I'm a busy guy, like to kind of embody those things. So I would always make the slate kind of funny.
I'm sure you would. What would you do?
Like they turn, I go which way, right. And I'll turn backward. You know, just, you know what I mean. And they would
turn
giggle
backwards.
And stuff.
Right? Eric, I would do this. Eric Stone Street.
One more time, please.
Eric Stone Street.
Could you try without a hesitation?
Eric Stone Street.
Okay, that's it. Yeah. Thank you so much. Bobby.
Yes.
Can you please slay, please? Can you turn around though?
What
you're
do
facing
I
the wrong
Bobby.
Way.
Hello.
Hello, my name is Bobby.
Bobby.
You know, anytime I do an Asian guy, it's me impersonating you, impersonating your
dad
from your stand-up.
Yeah, you do sometimes come out to see me. That's really nice,
too.
Yeah.
Remember you called me out in the audience at one point.
Yeah. In the main room, was it? Yeah.
Yeah.
And you didn't like it.
I didn't mind it, but that's not my world. Like, I've always kind of regretted never pursuing and trying to be a stand-up.
But you could, I mean, out of anyone... You could have done it.
Well, that's
and
really
it's
nice.
Funny because you still do kind of a live show.
I do a live show.
You, like, I know that because we have the same agents. Are you still with CAA?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm still there too, barely.
Yeah.
Barely.
Want me to talk to him?
Yeah. Talk to me about it. Yeah, yeah.
Put
send
in
me
a
out
good
more.
Word. Please, we need
to. We should do a show.
We should do something together.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I know that I've talked to the PA department and they go, Eric's in Australia doing these question and answer
Q&A's. Yeah.
Q&A's. How does that work?
Like this. It's like an open format where I'm on stage. I come out and I do a little brief introduction of like who I am and why I'm there. And, you know,
you get laughs in those introduction.
Yeah, big time.
Because that's stand-up, then.
Yeah, because they don't know what they really bought a ticket for. So that's the first thing I say is like, yeah. I bet you're all wondering, what the fuck did you buy a ticket for? And that gets a big laugh because they don't.
Yeah.
No. And it's a combination of humor and sincerity, me giving advice. I found that people are always asking me for my advice on things. So, and then asking me what it's like to do what I do. So I've taken that format and just turned it into kind of improvised stand-up. Because I never know what kind of questions I'm going to get. I do know what some of the questions are, so I have built-in answers for those. So I've written jokes, essentially, in my own head. Because my experience is improv, never stand-up.
Yeah.
And
so do you do an hour?
I've done 2 hours.
Damn. Wow.
God.
That's long.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It's exhilarating. I love it.
And it's a meet and greet afterwards?
I'll do a meet and greet depending on where the theater is, and what the deal is.
You have to pay money to do it all.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little extra, right?
But you know, the thing of it is if I didn't want to do it, I wouldn't be there. And that's sort of the nice thing about the job I have. And that's what I tell people. It's like, if you see me someplace, it's because I want to be there.
Yeah.
Like, I'm here tonight.
You don't need the money.
Yeah, because I like you and wanted to do this. Like, I don't go places I don't want to go. And I don't do shows that I don't want to do.
Right, right. No. I mean, and it also gives them, like, imagine living in a different country. And Modern Family is one of the biggest sitcoms, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
it's huge. Like, I mean, all my family's from the Philippines. Yeah. And it's huge.
Huge.
Do they dub us there? Do you know?
Or no,
we
they
dubbed?
Don't. It's English.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
And it's like, he's coming to our town?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's amazing. That
I did like 6 shows last summer, this time of year, last year on the East Coast. And I like playing those like 1,300 seat theaters, like those that I know you've done.
No, I do 250.
250.
2,500 or 250?
250.
250.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah.
Can they hear your little voice all the way to the back? Can I just tell you my journey?
I know. Everybody knows your journey.
Tell you about my journey, my friend.
Uh-oh.
Keep your pants on.
All right, sorry. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Remember the Spaghetti Factory?
Oh, my birthday party?
You had a birthday party?
Everyone has a Bobby Lee Spaghetti Factory story.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I used to
tell
have...
Tell us yours.
Well, you came, right? Who was there?
The only person I really remember being there is you, your brother, and Ari.
Shafir. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
because I thought he was funny then.
Yeah.
I think he's so funny now.
So funny now. This is before he beat the shit out of me or after?
Did you guys ever make up?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He called me out of the blue.
That's nice.
Yeah. And if you guys don't know this, a lot of people do. Ari Shafir beat the shit out of me 3 weeks in a row to the point where I was bleeding out of my face.
Because he just got tired of your stuff or what?
No, because of Natasha Leggero.
Oh, what happened?
I'm going to just tell you the quick story.
Okay.
When I was on Mad, do you remember Ron Peterson, mm-hmm. Canadian guy? Mm-hmm. Well, I was at the Comedy Store one night, and he goes, "Who's that on stage?" I go, "That's Natasha Leggero." He goes, "She's hot." I go, "Yeah, but she lives with Ari Shafir." Ron Peterson goes, "All right." And then I walked away because I had another show in the main room, whatever. And then a couple hours later, I was driving him back to the hotel where we were staying at, and he goes, "I got her number." I go, "Yeah, but she's seeing my friend Ari." He's like, "Yeah, but she's going to go on." So she starts like going to like plays with him, dinners behind Ari's back, right? And then out of nowhere, Ari calls me. "She left me, dude." I go, "Yeah, but," she goes, "you set them up."
Oh, God.
Right? I go, "I didn't set them up. Why would I do that?" He goes, "You did it." And here's how I know you did it. I go, "How?" "If you don't do this for me right now, this thing I'm going to ask you to do, I know that you set them up."
Whoa.
What was the thing?
What was the thing? I hope Break it was show him your penis. Because I know you'd do that.
Yeah, that's free. Yeah, that's a Korean hello.
Break into something?
Break into his office at Mad TV.
Yeah.
Go into his computer and steal the emails between Ron and
that's some intense
Natasha.
Shit.
So I go, "I can't break into his fucking office at Mad TV."
But can I just say the visual of you with a little smoke puff? Poof.
Oh,
running in and breaking
I
in.
I am a ninja.
It's like, thought about it for just a second.
Right, yeah. I have the whole thing on. Yeah. Okay. They're called smoke bombs.
Okay.
Not smoke puffs.
All right.
Smoke puffs.
Okay, just want to correct you on that. And so I go, no, I'm not going to do that. And he goes, then you set them up. So that Friday, I show up at the Comedy Store, and I'm checking in at the front counter, and he punches me in the face.
Like for real punches you. This is not a comedy fight, a comedy joke fight.
I fall to the ground, and he kicks me in the face like 20 times.
Oh, shit.
Now I'm bleeding. I'm like, you know, almost, you know, coma. Mm-hmm. But then as I get up, I hear my name being called.
On stage.
And I go up on stage.
And did you talk about it? Or
I only went up for 1 minute.
Yeah.
And I go, that guy right there. You know what I mean? I'm bleeding from the face. He beat the shit out of me. You know what I mean? Like I called him out. Art Shafir. Right. Then I get off stage and the manager goes, he's just emotional. Don't do anything. I go, all right. It's like how cool I am.
Yeah.
A week later, I'm walking down the hallway at the Comedy Store. He fucking lunges at me.
Oh my God.
Right. So and he starts strangling me in the fucking hallway with his little Jew thumbs in my throat. I don't mean that in a racist way.
Just a descriptive
way. Yeah, but I'm just saying that that's how I felt at the beginning, back then.
Mm-hmm.
And he's squeezing, and then my neck starts bleeding because he has his nails gouged into my fucking neck. Why is it so funny, baby?
That's funny. That
was funny. It is funny.
Yeah.
You're man bleeding.
Right. So then I remember I was dating a comic back then, and she was doing a show upstairs, Sarah.
Did she come to your rescue?
No, she didn't. But I remember going upstairs and my neck is bleeding. And she goes, why are you crying? And why is your neck bleeding? I go, he attacked me.
Oh my God.
You're right.
I bet that was a turn on to her.
That was the beginning of the end.
Yeah.
And then the worst thing happened. So then, unbeknownst to me, this is when Mind of Mencia was going on. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Ari Shafir had auditioned for Mind of Mencia and gotten the part when Carlos Mencia was out of town. So he had auditioned for the producers. They had hired him.
Mm-hmm.
But then when Mencia got back in the town, he already knew that Ari had attacked me twice. And he was looking at like who was performing, you know, on a show. And he saw Ari on it.
Yeah.
So he called Ari Shafir and says, hey, dude, you beat up my friend Bobby, so you can't do my show. So in Ari's mind, he thought that I had called.
Oh, no. Here comes the third ass kicking.
Yeah.
This is a real bad sequence of events for you.
Yeah.
I'm so glad I didn't get into stand-up.
I know.
I would have beat your ass so many times.
I know. So then I show up at the Comedy Store after he gets fired from Mind of Mencia, and I just hear running. Right? Like, I park the car, I close the door, I hear, and then no running because he's in the air.
Doing a Superman punch?
Yeah. He does a Superman punch from behind. Pap! I fall to the ground, right? I just run straight to the office, screaming, right? What's so funny, George?
Yeah, I
know. She's like, I work for this guy?
Yeah. And I try to call 911.
Oh.
Right, so I call 911 to call the police, right? I answer the phone, and then nothing. Do you know why? Steve Renazzisi had pulled the fucking cord out of the fucking wall. And he gets on his hands and knees, and he goes, if you call the cops now, he's going to be in jail all weekend because it was a Friday. I go, so what the fuck do I do? He goes, go home. So I just went home. And then the next thing I know, he got banned from the club. And then for 3 or 4 years after that, every time I would walk by him, he would call me a piece of shit. And I wanted to say I didn't do anything.
But you guys have finally patched this up. I'm so sorry I asked this or mentioned
this. No. Then out of nowhere, he calls me and he just goes, this is 5 years later. Hey, dude, it's Ari. And I just wanted to go, fuck you, right? But then he goes, I know that you had nothing to do with it. You know what I mean? I was just emotional. I love you.
Were you a little worried like a fist was going to come out of the God damn it, 4 times!
Yeah. And also, you're trembling because I loved him.
Mm-hmm.
He was my friend.
Yeah, we were at a birthday party together.
Yeah, at Spaghetti Factory.
Looking at a picture of a Snicker bar up your brother's ass.
Oh, you've seen that?
Oh, my God. We just talked about that. No one has proof. No one can
you've
find
seen
this photograph.
I have. It's scarred in my brain. Would we like to do a lobotomy and check it out?
Well, see, now that was real. Because he was there.
If he could vouch, if Eric Stoddard can vouch.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's
my brother
real.
Was on. And he talked about that. Yeah.
It was really up his butt then.
Yeah,
yeah.
About this far.
Oh, so there was like a gut. Wow.
Yeah.
Ah, yeah. Laban had done that.
Yeah.
See?
Wow.
Annabelle.
What a random
my
thing
brother,
to look at the Spaghetti Factory.
I know. By the way,
what?
They should reopen a Spaghetti Factory now.
There's
Laban.
One
they
out.
Do.
There's one out in the Inland Empire.
What's it? Where?
What's it called? Were you about
it's
to say
like
what's
it called?
Spaghetti Factory.
But where?
It's like in Claremont or something
yeah,
like
it's
that,
off the,
right?
Yeah, it's off the 10. Well,
because
we know what you're doing this weekend.
I love the manager's special.
What was it?
Is that the three flavors?
It's two flavors of sauces you can choose.
Okay.
And the two sauces you have to choose is the mushroom sauce, and I love the one with the misotra cheese.
Okay.
And then what you misotra. Do is you mix, or your meat sauce too, and you mix it together, and it's the most dandiest little...
I was so excited about
I love it.
You
so
make
much.
It sound good, and I hate the Spaghetti Factory.
She hates it. She hates Benihana too.
That's it's fun though.
I come on.
Hey,
Bobby.
I gotta tell you something funny that actually has happened that you don't know about.
What?
So I have made it because you're. I think you might have been the first person to ever take me to Korean barbecue, and I, you know, love it. And I've made it my mission that every time I go to Korean barbecue,
yeah.
I name drop you.
Oh, nice. I love it.
Yeah, I just work it into the conversation with the waiter
every single
yeah. just as a little fishing expedition, just to see if there's any reaction of like, oh, Bobby Lee. You know,
yeah,
he's a very famous Korean comedian.
None, right?
And no. So the fucking day I went to Ginwa, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Ginwa. It's really good.
what did you say?
I said, where do you like to go? Like to the waiter. I'm like, so where do you, when you want Korean barbecue, where do you go?
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, to K-Town. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, but like specifically which ones are good? And he rattles a couple off. And I said, I've been to Supol Jeep before. He goes, oh, yeah, that's really good. It's, you know, it's, I said, they're not that friendly there to like white guys like me. It doesn't, I don't know if they don't speak English or whatever. I said, but my friend, Bobby Lee.
Pause.
Yeah. Took me to the place right next to Kyochan, right there with the pig emblem. And he goes, oh, yeah. And he rattles it off.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, Bobby Lee. Actually, Bobby Lee was in here one time. He slapped one of our waiters.
What the
fuck? I'm like, yes. Finally, my name drop worked.
It didn't work.
You slapped a waiter?
Yeah, you slapped a waiter at Ginwa.
Not in a violent way.
Oh,
I've never slapped it.
Not in an Ari Shaffir way.
Yeah, no. And like, you know what I mean? Like, hey, that kind of a way.
Well, he had a huge spiritual meltdown because our favorite Korean barbecue spot has a wall. It's an Asian wall of fame. And he is not in there.
Parks Barbecue.
Oh, where's that? I'm on that one.
I'm
on that wall.
I think you're on Parks.
Yeah,
you are.
Parks.
Oh, my God.
You're fucking made
but
out.
But he's not.
You fucking made it on Parks before me.
Yeah,
all Koreans, though.
It's all Koreans.
I dyed my hair black.
Yeah.
Put on a really nice suit.
But you know what we did?
What?
We had a fan
from
this podcast go to Parks.
You mean the fan?
Yeah.
The one fan.
Yeah.
The one, yeah.
Frame a fucking photo of me.
Yes.
And then fucking put it on the wall.
Is it still up?
Yes.
Yes.
Amazing.
And then when I went back there like recently, the owner was there. She goes, I know you did.
Okay.
I go, what?
Here's the challenge.
What?
For your fans. They have a certain time limit. Let's give them 6 weeks.
Okay. 6 weeks is good.
Somebody needs to get a picture of me up on Parks Barbecue.
Yeah. Yes.
And we'll go in together.
We'll go in together.
We'll go in together in 6 weeks.
I have something. There's a photo of me and Eric on my Instagram.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's one from the past, and there's also one a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Do that photo. Something recent. Frame it.
Mm-hmm.
And then put it on Parks' wall. And don't say anything.
Don't say
anything. That's a challenge. And if you can do that, what do we give them, babe? Free t-shirt?
Possibly. They also have an upstairs wall where they put like the D-list celebs, and I think that's
I'm on that wall now.
That's where you ended
that's
up.
That's where we ended up.
Get they the front moved door. You?
Yeah, they moved them upstairs.
Like, who's bigger than you?
Like some baseball
There's
player.
Like 50 oh, Asians well, yeah. on the wall except
and,
him.
And you've never seen anyone.
Did I ever tell you I met the dance song guy?
William Hung?
Sai.
No, Sai. Yeah, Sai. I met him at Dodger Stadium.
Yeah, I saw a photo with
him. He has 6 photos of him on that wall.
I saw a photo with him. Apparently, here's another photo that I've seen with you.
What?
Baby, let back up for a second. I have a little confrontation. Mm-hmm. A little baseball game with Ken Jeong.
Ooh. Ooh.
No, don't.
That's a Korean
you
betrayal.
You fucking invited me one time, twice.
I've invited you to my Christmas party 3 times. You've showed up twice.
That is
what
true.
You're talking about?
That is true.
I didn't have it last year.
You didn't have it last year?
No. I'm having it next year.
Can I get invited this year?
Yeah, of course. Now that I've met Kalula.
Close enough.
What yeah.
is it? Kalila, we'll close enough.
Kalila.
Let me ask you something. So I'm
7 inches.
7 inches. Is it?
Yeah.
For sure 7 inches.
I don't
inches.
Think so.
You think bigger?
Maybe. I think it's thick. No, it has nothing to do with the weight. It's not a weight thing. I just think it's thick.
Have you seen Eric? So you've never seen Eric's penis?
No. He's not one of those guys. He's not one of those guys that you can.
No, I don't like 7. I have a very shallow vagina. That's not going to work. I need smaller.
Okay, I'm 6.
He can retract it.
I can work with
he
that.
Can retract
I can work
it anymore.
You're not seeing anybody?
Not right now. I mean, Not as a, in a girlfriend. I don't have a girlfriend.
What happened to that opera singer? Didn't you
have a, no.
Susan Boyle?
No, yeah. You were dating an opera singer, right?
No, I was dating a girl that was on Broadway, like a dancer.
A singer.
Yeah, yeah.
What happened to that, Gone?
Yeah, we broke up. She doing her thing.
I can't imagine what your taste is like now.
What was his taste before from what you saw?
I mean, to me, he would be like, you know, and he's an average guy, probably got girls that were... But now he's...
I've never been a quantity over quality guy, ever in my life.
Yeah, I know. You're a quality guy, so I can't imagine what
never
you're...
Never was interested in, like, hooking up with a girl just because she would hook up with me. Like, right. That's not, never been...
You need deal. The insides, too.
Mm-hmm. Insides are important sometimes, Bobby.
Mm-hmm. I met my girl here, man.
On Tinder. Oh, my God. I still can't believe it myself.
Remember when I would start texting you, right, when you started posting pictures of her? I'm like... Does that girl need help? Like, what's going on? Do I need to call the police?
Yeah.
Are you holding her against her will?
You don't find me that attractive. I mean, as
I find friend, you charming, but
you
I
don't
know
think that I'm attractive.
You're not my type. If I was gay, no. I mean, if I was a gay guy, I wouldn't bone you.
Yeah, well, that's rude.
Why?
Because if I was gay, I would probably go, yeah, I'd suck this guy's dick.
Well, that's you and I'm me. I mean,
right. How about this? If you were gay and I was gay, would you at least invite me to parties and stuff?
Like,
we'd
to
be
hang
friends
out with?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I would do a real big blanket, like, hey, this is my friend, Bobby.
Mm. Right. Yeah. And you would probably never recommend me to your other gay friends.
Yeah, I would. Guys that were into, you know.
Yeah. Fat Asians?
I don't think you're fat.
Oh, that's nice. Thank you. Yeah. Well, at least we'd be friends in that world.
Yeah. I remember one time when I was shopping, like, with a friend of mine at Nordstrom, this guy Matt, and I was trying some stuff on. This was before Modern Family or anything, and I was trying some clothes on, and I came out, and my friend Matt was like, dude, the salesman totally thinks we're a couple. And I was like, oh, really? And he's like, yeah. And so I go back in, and I try a couple other things off, or try other couple things on, and I come out, and the salesman is so clearly, like, flirting with Matt, like, flirting with him.
Yeah.
And I find myself, like, getting really, like, mad about it. Because he had told me that he thought we were a couple. So then I'm like, well, if he thinks we're a couple, like, this is really disrespectful to me. And so then when we finish up and we're walking away, he's like, dude, that guy totally was hitting on me and basically asked me to go out. I'm like, are you fucking serious? Like, I want to go back and confront the guy and be like, look, we're not gay, but you thought we were, and fuck you for trying to steal my guy.
Right.
It was.
And he didn't find you attractive.
Well, he wanted to bone Matt.
Yeah. Do you find that, I have seen a couple of Modern Families, and I know you've won Emmys. Mm-hmm. And people have said to me, like, you know that guy? I go, yeah. Is he gay? Mm-hmm. And I go, because you're so good on that show as that guy, mm-hmm. Is that weird out there or no?
It was in the beginning a little bit, but
do people ask you that all the time?
Yeah, I block anybody on it. I love blocking people on social media. So anybody that says, "Are you gay in real life?" I just block them because I think that's a completely inappropriate question.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, if I was, you're the person I'm going to come out to right now.
Yeah.
You know what? Thank you so much for asking me, Instagram. yes, I am. Fuck off.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
It's not an okay question. But in the beginning, it was weird because, you know, like, I never wanted to seem like I was ashamed of being gay. So, like, if I wanted to talk to a girl, I couldn't go up to a girl and be like, "Hey, just so you know, I'm not gay and I think you're really cute." Like, I would never say that because that would imply that I would care if you thought I was or that there was something wrong with being gay. So, it was a little bit of a, you know, you're right that I am an average, you know, guy, and it was a deeper hole than I already had to kind of dig myself out of because I'm funny and charming and it takes a minute for that to wash over a girl. They're not just deciding that I want to bone that guy purely based on his looks. You know? So I had a little bit more of a challenge in the beginning, but I overcame it.
I'm so fucking happy for you.
Are we done?
No, I just wanted to say that.
Oh.
But I think that I like sort of gay guys. I mean, like, I like men with...
you have a little gay.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
I think fluidity. I find that attractive.
Yeah. And the point is I'm confident enough of a man in my masculinity to not care if a girl thinks
I'm
gay.
Exactly. And it's no unnecessary.
I've sucked a couple of dicks before.
I think he knows that. I mean...
Eric looks so angry, everyone, right? Have you?
In high school, yeah. And when I was younger, I mean.
Oh, I think I did know that.
Yeah, you did.
I don't think
there's a soul that he doesn't want to tell that story to.
I think I did know it.
It's freeing to talk about it.
Do you remember, you know, you want to hear something funny that I've always laughed at and been embarrassed of at the same time? An experience you and I had together. So one time I went down to San Diego to watch you do comedy at the Comedy Store down there.
Oh, yeah.
And Dave Attell was like the main guy there. That night, like, he was the whatever you call it, the headliner, whatnot. And I didn't know, like, again, I'm not in the stand-up world, so I didn't know Dave Attell was like a slayer of comedy. I just thought he was a comedian and was gonna get up and do a show. And he was out back and you guys were kind of talking out back and he was smoking a cigarette and he was ready to go in and I went, "Hey man, have a great show, you know, just being nice."
Yeah.
And I'll never forget it. And it's a great fucking line. He goes, "Thanks, old timer." Oh my God. It was the fucking best. I was like,
yeah,
not how I meant it, but that was fucking incredible.
Yeah.
Thanks, old timer.
Yeah. You know, because back then he wasn't that big then.
But he was, you really respected him.
He was big when
him.
I was already in high school.
I mean, I fucking loved him.
And I didn't know him as, like, what he was, you know, a few years later he had his show.
Can you call ABC and tell them to pick up my pilot?
What is it called again?
Splitting Up Together.
What do you play?
I play Oliver Hudson's best friend in it.
Oh, adorable. How do you do in it? You were always worried about your acting with me. You would always tell me that you...
Still do. I have same issues.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I just go... Because I do some love, too, on Netflix, and I always go, "Judd hates me." You know what I mean? That was a terrible day.
Yeah, but you wouldn't be there if that was true.
I understand. I know. There's something that about myself that I have to confront. You're right. And,
you have to be careful
with
that,
At some point, people... I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's just a self-fulfilling prophecy at this point. If you always believe that in yourself, you're going to show up and
funny.
Suck.
So that's all I know.
And the other danger you really get into with so many people in our business is you really run the risk of people just thinking you're a narcissist and want attention all the time.
Mm, that's true. We talked about this last week.
You know who does that, says that about me? Whitney Cummings.
She's probably not wrong.
She's like, "You're a narcissist, and I'm fucking tired of you saying shit like that."
Yeah, you just want constant. I've known you long enough to know that it is a real. It's somewhat based in reality.
Nope. And lot of fear and a lot of like traumatic auditions that you've.
Everyone does that. Yeah.
Just listen.
What?
I swear to fucking God, I know that I'm getting better.
Mm-hmm.
You mean as because an actor?
Just listen to what I'm saying. I know that in this pilot that I do well.
Really?
Yeah, I know that. Because
you're doing you're doing less.
No, I'm just like more. I'm listening and I'm doing more of.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
You're doing less.
Yeah, and I'm being in the scene, and they really love what I'm doing, and I know that I'm doing a good job.
Mm-hmm.
And who directed this?
My friend Dean. I didn't test for it.
You just got it?
Yeah.
See? Yeah. So many actors and people and performers that are listening to this podcast, and you, you know, not complaining, but you expressing your worry and your fear of not being good, you can't couple that with I didn't audition or test for it. Those two things don't jive, because that's when people that have real struggles in our business check out.
I know, all right? I get it.
Yeah.
All right? I'm going to change.
No, you're not.
I am.
Change clothes?
Where are we at time-wise?
We're at over 50.
Okay, good.
We'll so do. Now this is what happens now.
Does that mean the show's over?
No, we go to one last thing. Oh. We have an email. Ask us a question.
But hold on just a minute. How long could you do this with me? Like,
you guys could probably go on for hours, both of you.
The longest we ever went was probably an hour 20 minutes.
With who?
Maybe Jordan Peele.
Jordan Peele. Plus,
yeah. Wow.
What?
I mean,
someone wants to break the record.
What do you mean?
I'm just saying.
Here's why I do it that way, though. And I know the people listening right now go, how come you always say, what time we're at? Because we want to hear 2 hours. I always believe less is more.
Like therapy session.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I believe that when I do anything, I try to compact the thing with as much entertainment within a small amount of space.
Yeah, but how do you know an hour and 20 with me isn't going to be...
But you know, you don't seem exhausted in this episode. Your energies match. You have a frenetic energy. You're calm. So it can go on for a while. I mean, you have two people with frenetic energy.
He can be frenetic too. Right?
I give what I get.
Oh. So you're good right now because I'm giving good.
No, I'm saying that I am able to match my scene partner. Like if I can, decide what
wow.
the person needs.
Wow. So you're at a high level right now.
No, I'm right here in the middle because it's your show. If it was my show, it'd be different.
Oh. You ever going to do a podcast?
No.
It's for us poor people, baby.
Yeah. No, it's not. That's not why.
That's not what he meant, baby.
No, but I'm. Yeah. That's what I meant.
Yeah.
I'm not.
Yeah.
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't do it because. Why I never did stand up in that. I don't know that I have the energy and passion to be good at hosting a weekly podcast, and I don't want to just. Start saying I'm going to do a podcast now because I'm on a show. I respect people more than that.
Eric, I swear to fucking God, I know that you could do it.
Do what?
A podcast or stand up because you have that kind of point of view. Mm-hmm. You know how to add information.
People are always surprised by how angry I am in real life. That's the one thing. I'm constantly competing against my character.
Yeah.
Because my character is really fun and nice, and I'm nice, but I have a more of an angry point of view in life, and it really... Mm.
Yeah,
really
you're edgier. I was telling them, he's a little edgy. He can, but I don't think that...
I've been very nice.
I mean, you can't...
No, you're great tonight.
I've been very nice.
You did this, you know what I mean? And this is the...
I've been very nice.
I want to see the rage.
Have you been in a fist fight before?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. All right.
I want to see the angry side. You don't have to be appropriate.
Baby, you don't want to
see it. I want to unleash it. I love angry people. Yeah, they're my favorite.
What do you want?
Whoa, dude. I don't want anything, sir. It's exciting. I'm fine.
No, when you were telling that story, I would have had a real conflict in that moment. Because I'm thinking two things. Where was everybody else when Ari Shaffir was hitting you? Because had I been with you that night, I would have gone fucking red light. Like, I would have.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's always my question. So
Natasha came to the store 4 months after that.
Are you friends with her still?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Ari took a fucking glass of water with ice in it.
Threw it at her?
And threw it in her face. And the shards of fucking ice went on her face.
Oh, my God.
And then Dove Davidoff and Brian Callen were there. And they got up. And they fucking weren't there when I got beat up. Yeah. I had Steve run a zizzy, you know what I mean?
Unplugging the phone.
Who's friends with both. So he's like, I don't know what to do.
I don't know who that person is.
He was in the league.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm so glad you said that too.
Well, I might if I saw him. I don't know.
Give me the question.
What's the question?
Unhelpful advice with Bobby, Kalilah, and 7 inches of Stone Street.
Six and three quarters
for Kalilah. For Kalilah purposes. I am a 19-year-old girl in Canada, and I have recently been diagnosed with Asperger's. It has been extremely hard to wrap my head around it and to accept. I've always felt different, but now I feel like I have a huge label across my head saying autistic. Having Asperger's helps me realize why I've never been good at making connections to other people. That being said, I have never had any romantic connections just from the lack of social skills and extreme social anxiety. My question is, how should I go about getting out there in the dating world? I feel so behind of all my peers in this aspect and other aspects in life. And if when do I start dating, how and when do I go about the subject of my diagnosis? My name is Anna.
How old?
She is 19 years old.
What's Asperger's?
I wasn't aware that Asperger's was still a diagnosis, actually. I thought it was just autism.
Oh, she's autistic.
And it's a huge spectrum, right?
Yeah, it's a huge spectrum, yeah.
Is that an extreme spectrum?
Yeah, it can go from anything from low function, very functional, which are...
like you.
A little bit, yeah. Are people who are absolutely no communication skills at all. So it's a very
wide
range. But
she seems like she's
probably on the...
Of course.
And she's probably very bright, you know. The other side of the spectrum is obviously the savants who are...
I mean, I think the answer to anybody that's like looking for some sort of romance these days is online dating. I think that really is... There's no stigma to that anymore. And, you know, you just got to put yourself out there. You have to make the decision to get yourself out there. And that is the easiest way to get yourself out there.
Yeah.
And I don't think that you should lead with that insecurity either. No. It is. You have it. You own it. And, you know, it
doesn't define you.
Yeah, it doesn't. And it's not a hindrance either. It can be.
Also, if I'm at Kalila and she goes, I have Asperger's, I go, what is it? And then she'll tell me. I don't think that it would make me feel weird.
I mean, sometimes I do think I fall under the spectrum. I have a lot of like eye tics, and I blink anxiously a lot. I have severe, I have weird things about me and tics that.
I mean, the shit that I do, I have tics too, baby. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I gotta get going.
That was a good podcast.
Check.
What are your problems?
Okay, what's the other question?
So that's what you do, Anna.
I like questions more.
Questions are good.
So I'm 17 years old and I have herpes. And I don't know how to deal with it.
Next question.
Okay.
I like that one.
I don't know how to deal with it. Any advice on how to communicate with people that I might be with in the future?
What is herpes?
It's a virus that lives either
I know what
here
it is.
Or
I'm pretty sure you're familiar.
Yeah. Please don't say that, because then
she has it.
Yeah.
I have a lot.
You know what I always say?
What?
To girls.
What?
Can you get more herpes?
Yeah. Like, that's good. Yeah. Can you?
I mean, you can have HSV-1, which is like not the very obvious or painful reoccurring ones throughout your whole life. That's like the ones in your mouth, which you can also get down there, and they're not the outbreaks are not as like intense.
But you know they have super AIDS.
But then they have HSV-2, which really...
You've heard of super AIDS?
Super AIDS.
What's super
AIDS? I've never heard of that.
Yeah, so you can get it.
Is that real?
Yeah.
Super AIDS?
I think I heard it.
Mm. Well, HIV.
I did. I think I heard it. Yeah, yeah.
Jesus Christ. But herpes.
You know who doesn't have super AIDS? Magic Johnson.
8 out of 10 people, by the time they're a certain age, probably have the virus inside of them, whether or not it chooses to, you know, show itself.
Make itself known.
So, yeah. So that statistic should make you.
What's your name?
Harmony.
Are you a herpy Harmony?
Yes.
Are you Latino?
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, on the herpy thing, I mean, transparency is always 100% the best policy in anything you'll ever come along with in your life. The conversation of admittance will be much less difficult than the conversation of what's the word? Guilt.
Yes. Mm.
You know, when something was found out. I mean, you just got to start with it, and it's super common. Like it's very common, and use protected. You know, you're going to protect yourself. You're 17. Don't know that you should even be doing it yet anyway.
Living an honest lifestyle is always the, like, I know a lot of comics that fuck around.
Really?
Mm-hmm. They fuck around behind their wives' back or whatever. And I go, dude, it's going to come back.
Catch up.
Yeah, I don't know why you live like that. And a lot of these guys are doing well.
I always say you want to be the train. I always say You want to pull a train. God damn it, I didn't get it. No. Yeah. I always say you want to be the engine on the train and not the caboose. Yeah. You want to be driving the situation and not being drug along in the wake of it.
Yeah. Yeah. So that.
That's a good note to end on, herpes.
Herpes is a good note.
Yeah.
Eric, you want to, you know, you don't have to plug anything. You have a movie coming out or...
I have a couple TV shows. Have you seen The Toy Box, the show that I'm doing on ABC?
No.
When does this air? When's this going to be on?
Tomorrow
night.
Oh, so The Toy Box is on Friday nights on ABC. That's an example of how I've recently had to realize that I'm competing against my own character that I play on TV because I'm hosting the show as myself. And the reason I'm hosting the show, the reason I even said yes to doing it was because it was an opportunity for me to sort of be my dry, you know, sense of humor with people. But people watch the show and will be like, I like Eric Stonestreet as an actor, but not as a host. And it's because they don't know my personality.
Yeah, but you're so fucking funny as a person. I know that you're killing it on that show, but I only know you as a naturally, intrinsically funny guy that's legit.
That's honestly a big compliment from you. I really do mean that.
Yeah.
Because I've always felt like I went to a Funny or Die party after Modern Family was on. And I did feel like because I'm on like a network television show and I'm on that and it's, you know, like gets good ratings and wins awards that somehow I'm not in the cool comedy club.
Oh, God. You know, we talk about this all the time. The alternative comic.
I'm going to tell you something right now.
Yeah.
And I promise you this, we all want to be where you're at. I told her when I booked this pilot, I just said, we might get invited to the party. Because I've been to the party.
Yeah.
Right?
Club,
and they get, the club, right?
Right.
You're in the club. And let me tell you something right now. There is a difference. You're at a level that's completely different.
Untouchable.
Untouchable.
And but I did feel like I felt like the senior in like it. I was made to and it was again on me because most people in your world don't know me as a stand up because I wasn't, or as an improviser because you know how many people saw me improvise for 12 years, you know, so I felt like that the comedy people don't look at me as a comedy guy. They just look at me as a guy that got lucky and is now on a network television.
All right, like
show.
Let me ask you this: Jordan Peele, do you know him?
Yeah.
Did you know him before you did Modern Family?
Of course.
Yeah. He's legitimate.
Yeah, 100%.
Keegan.
Yes.
You knew him.
Hilarious.
Ike.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's a list of people that are killing it right now that already know that what you can do and who you were. And you didn't need Modern Family to have them have that opinion of you.
Yeah.
Right, so shut the fuck up.
Well, no, but you know what I mean about the cool kid comedy club.
I know, and I've always hated them. Let me say this: I've been doing stand up for 20 years. I've never been to the Montreal Comedy Festival.
Really?
Yeah. And it's like, at some point, you just have to go. I'm not, but it's fine.
Yeah, but
it's fucking fine.
It's fine, but you're an improviser.
Mm-hmm.
So let me tell you the main thing real quick, and then I'll let you guys go. Sorry, I'm talking now.
No.
So
no.
Here's something that I've noticed about comedy is it used to be when I was in Chicago and starting off there at the Improv Olympic, and I would talk to guys that had been improvising for a long time. You would go out onto the street, and the climate at I.O. is that it's just bits galore. Mm-hmm. And you're standing outside smoking a cigarette, drinking water, doing whatever it is, and it's bit, 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 bit. And everyone says yes, 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 and you just do the bit. And you have no idea what's going to come from that bit. Usually nothing, sometimes something. Now what I feel like is you'll be around, like, let's say a couple I.O. guys, like guys like me and that perform on Beer Shark Mice and those guys that will just jump in and do bits. You'll be around doing bits and then add a little of the cool guy comedy club in. And the cool guy comedy is sitting back and thinking like, well, I'm going to judge the bit first.
Yeah.
And I'm going to decide whether I think the bit's funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I'm going to jump into the bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm going to kill the bit.
Oh, gross.
That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
the whole spirit of improv and what the beauty of I.O. is bits just are that. They're bits and you say yes to them and
yes.
do it with no judgment.
Yeah.
That's what I feel like. It to me the difference is there's judgment where there didn't used to be.
Mm. Yeah. But also those people that judge the harsh, they can't pay rent. So
Did you just fart?
Yeah, yeah.
Why?
That's how he ends the podcast.
Yeah, yeah, who cares?
Hey, have you ever been over to Toluca Lake, baby?
Ooh, Toluca Lake. That's some prime real estate.
There's no farts going on over there.
They have a Poquito Moss there I like.
They sure do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We can put a Paquito Moss in my backyard.
You would never betray me in that way.
I would never.
I know you
would.
Years.
So,
nor
baby,
would Kalila.
And nor would Kalila.
Oh, my God. Yeah, yeah. I like that she said, and maybe you've said this before on the podcast, that you have a shallow vagina.
A very shallow vagina.
Which is good for
this
you,
man, right?
This relationship
works really well.
It's so good.
Real good. Sometimes I hit the half of the
mm-hmm.
wall.
Yeah. All the way
halfway,
to the back.
Halfway. No, I don't hit the wall. I go halfway, though. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, thank you, Eric, for coming by.
We'll be right back, guys, with Cleaning House. And we're back. Eric Stonestreet. What a guy.
I like him. I like him a lot.
Starstruck.
I can't believe how long they've known each other.
Yeah.
It's like since the late 90s, I think.
Jeez.
So many commercials.
Hell yeah. Bobby used to tell me, he's the absolute king of commercials.
No, I feel like his look, too, and just how funny he is, mm-hmm. for sure books all the time.
Yeah.
It made sense.
That's really good advice, though, he gave about, like, going into, like, commercial auditions. Mm. You just got to not give a fuck, and then they give a fuck about you.
Yeah.
Because I think that you do sense that. Like, that sense of desperation is really off-putting. If I was a casting director, yeah. and somebody just hits it perfectly, and they're like, it's really great to meet you, I'd like, nah, get the fuck out of here. I can't do that. Mm. I need someone with a little bit of, rough around the edges, yeah. where I can see, okay, he wasn't perfect, but I can see it going there.
That was like definitely me in Chicago because I didn't know, mm-hmm. and I always come up with a big smile, hey, Gilbert, like the fucking fake voice.
Yeah, yeah.
And I realized like no callbacks. And as soon as I started being like, hey, what's up, guys? Just chill.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, normal person. Here's yeah. a callback for being just a fucking normal person.
You know, that's yeah. why Steve Lee.
He's because that's him.
Has booked so many commercials is because Steve Lee genuinely doesn't care. And he just goes in and he's like, I don't want to fucking be here, but I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And he always gets a callback.
That makes sense.
I thought about going into auditions just for that reason. But then I'm scared I'd get a callback. It'd just be for the experience of like not giving a fuck.
Yeah.
And then as soon as I got a callback for something big, I'd be like, oh shit.
Hi, I'm George.
Yeah.
Because after a while, let's say you get a callback, it's hard not to care at that point. Then yeah. you're like, okay, yeah. I want
to
do better.
That's what I'm trying to fix now is the callback. Because the first one, I'm like, I'm probably not going to get it.
Yeah.
Get the callback, then that's when the nerves kick in. Then you're trying too hard.
Yeah.
That's good advice, yeah.
So, hey, guys, I want to take a moment to thank everybody that came out to our live show.
Oh, yeah.
Last Thursday. It was an absolute blast. I got to meet most of you, I think, and everybody was just super cool, super nice, super impressive, and I want to say that I love you guys, everybody that I did meet. And it was a nice night.
Yeah, everyone.
And thank you for that.
Super, super nice.
And for those who didn't make it to this show, don't worry. We'll have several more in the future, and they'll be bigger and better.
Get ready for a Europe tour.
And thank you to everybody who helped out. You know who you are, so I appreciate you.
That's right. I also want to take a moment to give a shout out to our two great interns, Johnny. And Gustavo, who put in a lot of work for that night, and to Annabelle and to Jonna and George, and Bobby just re-entered the room,
and Omar was just there.
Omar and Russell were there in case I needed extra help.
So. And so, guys, the black shirts are sold out on our website. We only have a handful of the white shirts left. So if you had been keen on grabbing the Slept King shirt, do it now because we are running low.
Gustavo.
Bobby just decided to jump back on the mic. It's weird having you there. I think we should have this new setup where you sit there.
Gianni, Gustavo.
Oh, that'd be fun with some of you.
Who are they?
Yeah.
Those are interns you met them.
You know.
Bobby, any
They're
thoughts
great.
On the live show?
The what?
The live show.
What happened?
You were there?
The live show, Bobby.
All our fans that
Last
came
Last Thursday.
That was wonderful times. Those are really good times, you know. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I shouldn't have got naked. That was weird. But you live and you learn.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
You live and you learn. Let's do some ads.
Yeah. So guys, make sure you follow us on Instagram at TigerBelly.
God, when I eat, I love to eat.
on Twitter at TheTigerBelly, and email us any questions at TheTigerBelly@gmail.com.
Oh.
So, yeah.
And
when I buy shoes, I go to shoes.
No, not doing ads right now, babe. We already did them.
And
we already
for your
did
15%
them.
Off FrameBridge, go to framebridge.com and remember the promo code is belly.
All right, we'll see you guys later. Bye. Like.
Bye.
Bye.
Gloves.
Right. Oh, wait. Hang on. We're not done.
Oh, go ahead.
Sorry. Look, I need to plug Bobby's dates.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Okay, hang on. Let me pull up my list before I forget. I'm so irresponsible. Come on, Kalila, you're better than this. Okay, guys, if you want to go see Bobby do stand up, he will be at Hilarities in Cleveland June 1st to the 3rd, Parlor Live in Seattle or in Bellevue June 8th through the 10th, Comedy Zone in Charlotte, that's North Carolina, right?
Mm, Charlotte.
June 22nd to the 24th. Tempe, Arizona, June 20 to the 22nd, and Salt Lake City, July 28 through the 29th. Ooh. I haven't updated his site yet, but I will. So for more dates, go to BobbyLeeLive.com.
I'm gonna be in Morocco doing Huck Huck Comedy Club in August.
All right, that's our show, guys.
All right, guys. See you next week. Ciao. Makabali.